This morning, I'd like to read a story from the book of Nehemiah. I found that this is some of my favorite reading in the Bible. I love this story, and this is history. This really happened, and it happened to God's people after they had done what God told them not to do, and God told them what would happen to them if they did what they did. And so for 490 years, they did what God told them not to do, and he caused them to be carried away into captivity, and the city that they lived, that was the capital, the temple and its walls and the city's walls, Jerusalem, and all of the people, and then the contents of the temple, everything was ruined, burned, broken down, people carried away, families torn up, people killed. Anyway, they took the children of Israel captive, the Babylonian king, and they brought Israel into captivity, and after a few years, other kings conquered the Babylonians, and I think this is during the time of the Persian king, when Nehemiah was very concerned about his people, and he knew it was time that God had said that they could recover and go back to their city. And so they went back, and the city was so destroyed, the heart of the people was very discouraged to know what to do to rebuild things. And so Nehemiah had this burden to go and help his people to rebuild the temple. He had quite a task. And remember, we had a message a couple weeks ago called Be Strong, Fear Not. And one of the people that we talked about was Nehemiah, how God came and told these people through Nehemiah to be strong. Let your hands be strong. Don't fear this terrible, formidable task that you have. Well, to complicate all of these things, they didn't just have a job to do and walls to build and a city to build, but there were enemies. And when the enemies heard that these people had come back to rebuild, the enemies decided to come and pester them. And they posed as friends and wanted to help them, which they didn't. They wanted to confuse them. So we come down to this chapter, chapter 4. And the three enemies that were there to try to bring them grief were Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and people that were with them. Sanballat was, he was a Horonite, and they pretty much figure, scholars that study this, figure that he was of the people of Moab. And then Tobiah was an Ammonite from the people of Ammon. And Geshem was an Arabian. So those three types of peoples had always been enemies to God's people. So you kind of have a coalition here of God's ancient enemies, had been enemies to God's people since before they came out of Egypt, gave God's people trouble, always stirred up grief for them, always opposed them, always tempted them. You know the story of Balaam, how that the king wanted Balaam to curse God's people, and he said, well, I'll tell you, you can't curse him. God won't let me curse him, but here's what you can do. You can seduce him. Some of those enemies that I just named. So they had always been thorns, temptations, trouble to the children of Israel. Well, here's all three of them now. And let's read in verse 1. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, angry, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. Now that's another thing. These men were now in authority in Samaria. And what Samaria has to do with anything is that the people way, way back, before they were carried away into captivity, the people in Samaria began to mix idol worship and the worship of God. They combined it, which was a great offense to God. And to those who were God's true people, they began to... It began to be quite a feud between Israelites. Well, you're from Samaria. You all don't do things right. And I tell you what, that feud and that, it was volatile. It was always a big trouble between the Israelites because these people combined idol worship with worship of God, and these tried to keep it pure, and so they were always clashing, even down to Jesus' time. Remember the story of the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. The Jews, she said, have no dealings with the Samaritans. So here you have this ancient problem. You have this buildup of problems. And so these Samaritans, with these origins from all the different ancient enemies, now have come to fight against Nehemiah, who is rebuilding the walls, and his people. So he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice those? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Just think about how these felt who were trying to work. They were trying to work amidst lots of rubbish. Have you ever tried to work with a pile of junk all around you? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he'll even break down their stone wall." Now, how would you like somebody to look at the work that you're doing and say, "Stone wall, if a fox goes on it, it'll break down"? That's the kind of mockery that they were facing when they were trying to get something done. Well, Nehemiah, he prayed, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." You know, even if you have somebody mocking you and you have opposition, if you have a mind to do God's will, you can do it. You can face any opposition and you can do it. "It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth, very angry, and conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." Now, there's a reason why this is in the Scriptures, and the New Testament tells us that all of these happened for examples or types or figures of something that is really true in the Spirit. And this right here gets us aware of the kind of battle that we fight spiritually, the kind of rage that the enemy has against us who are trying to build and do God's will, and the kind of mockery that he has, which people also have. A lot of times, people that are of that kind of mind. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And also, these things help us to know how we must fight. They give us a clue. They give us the understanding of when you have the enemy fighting your soul, there's certain things that we've got to do. So it says, this is very important. We made our prayer, and we didn't just pray, but we set up a watch. We were vigilant. We were on guard to know what was going on. And this is really our responsibility in our fight, to watch and pray. You've heard that term before, haven't you? This is what it means, to pray and to be vigilant, to be on guard, to be aware. Things happen when people are not aware. Things happen when we go to sleep. Why do you think they have guard duty all hours of the night in the military? And why do you think it would be someone's aim to put out the night guard or somehow distract him or something? Things happen when somebody's not on guard. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. Now, Judah is referring to God's people. So they put up this complaint. Our strength is decayed. We're tired to begin with. And there's so much junk around here. There's just so much trash and rubbish. We've got to clear all this out before we can start to build anything. And how discouraged they were. So that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither shall see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So, in this conspiracy, they decided to use espionage and to be very secretive. Secret missions, masquerading, hiding, going in as in deception. That's what people do in military, isn't it? They send in their spies. They send in undercover people to work. Well, that's what they did. All of these enemies did this to God's people. And they said, they won't even know, they won't even see until we're right there in the middle of them, and then we're going to get them. We're going to hinder them, we're going to fight against them, and we're going to cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall, and on higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So he set up a watch behind, how did he say it? Behind the wall, and then in higher places, I guess up in lookouts, he didn't leave this to chance. And I want to tell you something. In our warfare, we don't leave it to chance. Victory is not accomplished by chance. Victory is accomplished by fighting. And this is really what this is all about, is to teach us how to fight in the battle that we're in. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters and for your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought, or they did the work, and the other half of them held the swords, spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. Now this is how they work. How could you work if with one hand you had your tool and the other hand you had a weapon? But this is what they had to do. And this is a good lesson for us to look at how they did here. For the builders, every one, had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. All right. Down in verse 20, let me just go on here. He that sounded the trumpet was by me, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, or get together. We all get together when we hear the trumpet. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Well, this is quite a scene here, and I've thought a lot about it. But I want to go back to 14, and I want to give you the burden that the Lord has given me today, the specific burden that applies to us. And I'm going to use this verse, and I don't believe I'll do it any injustice by using it in the way that I'm going to today. But here's my burden. I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons and for your daughters and your wives and your houses. Now, just bringing this down to a specific thing. We are in a fight against the enemy, and he is opposing our families. We're in a fight against, the enemy's in a fight against our families. He's in a fight against you, brethren. He's in a fight against your wives. He's in a fight against our husbands. These people try to hinder, and they try to send undercover and send in agents that were spying and secretive. Also, they tried to divide up the people. They tried to confuse the people. They tried to mock the people. This is what's coming against our families today. And we need to be aware, and we need to be on guard. We need to understand what the battle is and how the enemy is attacking us. We can't be asleep. We can't just let things happen. We've got to be aware, constantly aware and vigilant in this fight. And remember, fight for your brethren. Fight for your wives. Fight for your sons and daughters. And I'm not, of course, you know I'm not speaking carnally. I'm not talking about you setting up a guard with a gun outside your house and shooting everybody that you perceive as an enemy to your family. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually today, there's a fight against your home. There's a fight against you as a person to let down your guard and to individually not be faithful. And the thing is, when you're involved in a family, when you're part of a family, when you're not faithful in your post, it affects the whole family. And so you need to be, each one of us needs to take it personally and say, I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight the enemy that's opposing our family, that's trying to get us all to be unfaithful, to lose our souls, and to lose our family unit. And all of us today, as God's family, we need to fight for the family. Fight against the foes that have come in to try to divide us and separate us, confuse us, and get each of us to fight against each other and to get us discouraged, and so that we won't do the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is the most important thing. And we know that God's enemies, ancient enemies, have always tried to hinder his work. They've always tried to stamp out his people. They've tried to get his people to assimilate into the culture of the false religion. And that's what these Samaritans were all about. They were all about mixing things up. They wanted to get God's worship and the worship of, they wanted to have Jesus in the world too, is what we would say today. This spirit, this loose spirit, is still in the world today. It's still attacking us. It's still wanting to secretly come in and then all of a sudden show up, and it's bigger than what we can deal with by the time it gets to that point. And that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to do that in our homes, in our families. He wants to come in and sly in secret ways, and all of a sudden, it's a big thing right in the middle of you. And I want to show you some of those things today. Some of our enemies as families we need to be aware of. One of the things that I've seen come in, I've got gray hair. I know through these years that have produced these hairs, things that have happened to people. Let's see, the first one I want to get is Colossians, I believe. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." And then another one in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently. See, they were to be on guard. They were to be constantly watching, watching out for one another, watching out to protect each other, and watching out for the enemy. He said here, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see the pattern here of if I'm not faithful, if something begins to grow in me and to flourish in me, if the enemy comes in me, all of a sudden he comes in secretly, he comes in small ways, and all of a sudden you have something big right in the middle. How did it get to this point? Because somebody wasn't vigilant. They weren't watching. It slipped in unawares. The seed was planted and a tiny little root began to grow. Roots go down for a long ways. And as they're going down, little shoots start shooting upward. After a while, you see a little plant, but you've got to remember that there's a little root that's down in there. It's been there a long time. I've studied about roots. There are roots that are miles long in plants. I mean hundreds of miles long. There are plants that have roots that long. They're down under the ground. You can't see them. He's saying here, in our spiritual battle, in our homes, bitterness against one another. And I read the scripture, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. But it's just as easy for wives to get bitter against husbands. And it's just as dangerous. And it's just as secretive and undercover as it can be. You can have a bitterness begin to grow inside your mind, discontent. I didn't like the way this happened. I didn't like how this is turning out. There doesn't seem to be anything better going on. I wish you would have done this better, but you didn't, and you don't seem to care. And it begins to grow and grow and grow deep inside a person. Bitterness is a terrible foe to a home. It affects, it infects families. And there's in the one of God's messages to the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy was that if they saw a family that was full of bitterness, let's see what they were supposed to do with it. Deuteronomy 29. He was talking with them in verse 10. He said, "You stand this day, all of you. All of you captains, you officers, you men, your wives, your little ones," they were all standing there. And so he said he wanted to establish his covenant with you. And he said, "You've seen your deliverance from the land of Egypt. You've seen how we came through the nations. You've seen their idols, their abominations." And then he said in verse 18, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, bitterness. Gall is a bitter substance. Wormwood is bitter and poison. It shall come to pass, and it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart and say, I shall have peace, though I walk after the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. Then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under the heaven. He's saying, if this root gets started in a family, it's an awful thing. The root that grew in Saul, the king Saul, that the word there, whenever it said, let's see if I can find that story. When he told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, that word rebellion, the root of it is bitter. Bitter. When a person begins to get bitterness in their hearts against your spouse, or you can even get bitterness against your children, or a child can get bitter against parent, or brothers and sisters can get bitter against one another. Bitterness is a root that begins to grow and grow and grow. It will ruin a family. I know people who bitterness began to grow in between the little children in the home, and it never was checked. And parents, we need to see this too. We need to see when children begin to get bitterness in their hearts against each other. You need to think about the future of that thing. We need to think about how will this go. There are brothers and sisters, adults, old people today who are still bearing the fruits of the bitterness that they developed in their youth toward one another. I know families where the brothers and sisters are in their 40s. And I know others that are older than that. But I'm thinking of families where they can't be in a room together for very long before there is a real trouble starts. You try to have a family get together, you try to have fun and peace. All of a sudden, what's festering under just a little remark will set it off. And they'll be at each other. And these are adults. They ought to know. They ought to have wisdom in their lives to know how to get along with anybody. But their own brother or their sister, they can't get along with them. Families are separated today. And we needn't think that, oh, this can't come in among our family. We're saints of God, or we know salvation, or we go to church, we read the Bible. That's all the more reason why we should be on guard against the enemies to our home. Don't just let it happen. Don't just be lackadaisical and casual about it and say, oh, well, things will happen. Victory never comes when we just let things go. Victory comes when we fight. And we as parents, we need to get on our knees before the Lord and find out, Lord, what can we do? What can we do with this feud that's developing between our children? We want peace in our home. If you give up the fight, those children will never just work it out by themselves unless they both get saved. I tell you what, salvation and sanctification, slaying the giants of self and the kingdoms that are in the heart of each individual. It's important that we do that as individuals. But I'm talking about dealing with it in the home. God, give us wisdom. Help us to understand. And I'll tell you one thing that happens is that children many times don't feel like that they're loved equally by their parents. That is a lot of times the root of bitterness. Sometimes It's real. The parents aren't loving equally. And we need to know this as parents. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not getting through to this child. We're not connecting. And parents can go for years not really connecting to their children. Sometimes you know it and sometimes you don't know it. it's like some of these enemies that come in. And they're there, and all of a sudden you got this great big something in there, and you're thinking, where did this come from? And it's because I've not been connecting for years and years and years. We want to connect with our children. Lord, give me the heart of this child. Help me to understand. Help me to know how to make this child feel loved. Lord, how does this child feel loved? What can I do? What are the things that I can do and say? What are the things that really tick them off? Lord, why? Why is this child affected in this way? There are things that won't come to us maybe until later. But we can still fight. When we're fighting, what I mean by fighting is praying, searching. Never give up and say, this is the way it is. Constantly say, Lord, I want victory. I don't want just to stay the way it is. I want you to give us what your intention for a home to be is. I'm seeking for a goal here. I want peace among us. I want love. I want there to be a spirit of graciousness in our home. Lord, this is what we're fighting for. This is what we're aiming for. Don't ever give up fighting. When you give up, it can only go worse, and it will. But when you keep fighting, the Lord will break through. He'll fight for you. Notice that I'll fight for you came after he had set these other things up. Sometimes we just think, oh, the Lord will take care of this. We can't be like that in our battles in our home. We've got to pray. He said we made our prayer unto God and we set up a watch. That's what we've got to do in this battle. The Lord, I believe it was Psalms 18 where it says, where David said, you teach my fingers, my hands to war. We need the Lord to teach us how to war as parents and as husbands and wives, as brothers and sisters. How does he say? He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. I thought about then the scripture about the armor, 1 Timothy 6. No, Ephesians 6, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6. And he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. He talks about the wiles. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In our fight, now Nehemiah, his enemies had their wiles. They tried to slip in. They tried to come in and say, let us, or come down here with us. Come down into this room and talk to us. What they had planned was to ambush him and get rid of him. Nehemiah said, no, I'm not coming down to visit with you. I have work to do. That should be our answer too when the enemy wants to have some kind of a consultation with us. Oh, just make some compromises. No, I'm not coming down. This is the standard. This is what I know God wants me to do. This is what we're aiming for. The world has different compromises that it would slip into our families and say, just live like this. It's okay. This is how everybody lives. Our answer should be no. We're striving for holiness in our lives, in our hearts, and in our homes, and we're not going to compromise. There's different wiles that the enemy has. He tried mockery. Sometimes we feel very very opposed by scorn, the scorn of others who are looking and see what we're doing. You're trying to be holier than thou. You're trying to accomplish something that's not possible. How can you do this? How can you do this in this time? Nobody's doing it this way. You all are, I mean, the enemy will just come in and just, parents sometimes will feel, you're just so strict. You're just stricter than anyone else. But you know, parents have a goal. Godly parents have a standard, a goal, an example set before us, a vision. That's what I'm trying to say. We have a vision. Godliness is our vision. We're not stopping at anything less. Yes, we feel opposed. Yes, there's lots of rubbish. Yes, there's lots of enemies. Yes, we're being scorned. But we have a vision. And we're fighting for that. I'm never going to quit fighting. There are different other wiles that he uses. Sneak attacks. Surprise. The element of surprise. All of these things. But he said, if you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and against powers. I remember back in our child raising days, many times this would happen. Wednesday. Wednesday night is when we want to go to service, right? We want to go there and we want to have something to say praise the Lord about. We want to have our spirits blessed so that we can be a blessing. We go to strengthen. We go to bear burdens. We go to share burdens. That's what we do Wednesday night, right? Did you know there's an enemy that you have, that we have, that tries to get us squelched down so that we have nothing? We don't even want to go. We can't go. We're hindered. And I'm saying we have different trials and tests that we go through here. Sometimes we do have to cancel. I understand that. But what I'm saying is in our spirits, the enemy tries to come against us. And I remember when we had younger children in those days, we would have such terrible fights with the devil on Wednesday. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember just telling the children, whoa, stop, just a minute. You know what day this is? This is Wednesday. And we are going to get on our knees and we're going to rebuke the devil. Because the devil's trying to get us to not have any victory, especially on this day. So we can drag into Wednesday night just like this. Not even feel like going. Get a splitting headache over all of the troubles in that one day. I remember it just dawning on me. I believe the Lord helped me to see. Yeah, this is Wednesday. All right, you've been found out. Devil, you're out of here. So we rebuked the devil, and then the Lord would many times give us peace. He would help the children to simmer down, to cool down. He'd help mom and dad to simmer down and cool down, and he'd give us victory. We have to be on our guard. Well, another thing that I looked at here was all of this armor. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Then he begins to list it. Having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins is talking about spiritually, and in the spiritual battle, your emotions, your feelings, have them girt, have them strengthened, stabilized with truth. That's what he has here. Have on the breastplate of righteousness, your heart, what you really are, your affections, the seat of your all of your decisions and your what you have before God as far as your love for God and your heart. That's what I'm talking about. Have it girt about. Have it a breastplate of righteousness. I tell you what, our children know what we are in our hearts. They know. They can understand when we're being hypocritical, when we're not what we say we are in church. They go to church, they hear us say and do one thing, and then at home, we're another. This says you have on righteousness at your heart, right in your heart. I know I'm applying all this right now to the family, but I believe we can do that because this is one of our fights. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe that's a real blessing in a family, in a Christian home, where we're not all centered on one another, but the home as a unit has a mission. And everyone in that home knows mom and dad really seek for the kingdom of God. They don't neglect us, but we know that their heart is for others. And as a unit, we visit, we have a heart for people, We want people to be saved. We're not just out for making money and getting more of this world. Children know these things. They discern these things. They know when their parents really, really just want to have it nice. They don't really care about other people. These are things that go on in homes today. And this having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, a willingness, a preparedness to do what one can for the kingdom of God, to spread the gospel, to spread peace, to go where, to be a blessing to others. That's what I believe this verse is meaning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In connection with that verse, I was thinking of these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. This says the weapon, the shield of faith, is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's mighty. The shield of our faith, our unwavering faithfulness, our being persuaded of God's word, that he's true. I believe this. Nothing can make me not believe this. This is what my life is about. That shield of your faith will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's a decidedness. It's a perseverance. It's a faithfulness. That's what this is talking about. And I shield my life and my family with this faith. The devil's against our faith today. He seeks to undermine faith. There are many things that are coming in to cause us to... our trust that should be completely in God and solid upon his word. There are so many things today that try to get us to trust in something else, to be unfaithful, to doubt, to not believe, to be discouraged, all of that. If we allow that in our lives, the fiery darts of the wicked will come and there will be nothing to quench them. We've got to have that shield in our personal lives as husbands and wives. I'm speaking because I believe this is the way he was speaking to the men here. And I'll say it to the wives too. We lead our families. We have the control. We have the power. God's invested. He has given us charge of children and a family. And this is the faithfulness that we have to have for our families. And this faithfulness, this faith, this determination, this persuasion that we have of who God is and what he requires of us, and we can't be shaken, that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. The armor that God has given us is mighty through God. To the pulling down, it said, of strongholds. This is what we've got to have for those roots and for those things that have grown up to be strongholds in people's lives, in the lives of our children. If I allow myself to be discouraged and easily moved and doubt God, I can't go against some of these strongholds. I won't even be able to see them. I won't be able to understand them. And they'll just entrench themselves in the lives of my family. But if I can have this armor on and be watchful and vigilant, God can come in and deal with me and help me to understand what I can do, what I can say, how to pray. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. They're mighty through God. He can help us. We cannot help ourselves. These situations, it's like that wall. We're spread apart. There's a lot of rubbish. I can't do anything. God's saying, let your hands be strong. Do not fear. Have a mind to work. Yes, this is a work of many days. Yes, this is going to be long and hard. And these people there on that wall, they had to be so vigilant that they couldn't even undress except for to wash their clothes probably once a week. I don't know. But they kept armed and alert all day and all night. Sometimes this seems like the way our fight is. All day and all night. Well, he said the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Did you know that little children can get imaginations and things that grow in their mind? And it takes us as parents to be vigilant and watchful and to know how to fight in that war against imaginations. This that I mentioned a while ago, children can build up in their minds, my parents don't love me, and things build on that and build on it and build on it until they've got, by the time they're a teenager, they've got all kinds of stuff built up. That's called a stronghold. It takes God to give us the right weapons to pull down those strongholds. But we can be confident that the weapons that God gives us are mighty and they can pull them down. We can have that confidence in God and His Word. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I tell you what, these scriptures really encourage me this morning. We're not alone. God has given us and will give us the weapons that we need. He'll teach our fingers to fight so that it said a bow of steel, can't get much stronger than that, is broken by our hands. And that's what brings me to the next thing here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, help us to know how to fight with the Word of God. And you know what? Another scripture came to me when I read that. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, knowing where to cut. Study. He said study, which means be earnest, be quick, be eager, labor diligently. That's what that word study means. It's the same word as labor to enter into His rest, or the word endeavor. It's all, those all have the same meaning. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or a soldier. In this case, you had to be a workman and a soldier at the same time. That's what we are as families. We're workmen, we're building. At the same time, we're vigilant and we're destroying enemies. That's quite a job. But that's who we are as moms and dads, as brothers and sisters. We're building and we're being workmen and we're being soldiers. So he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So I was thinking about these scriptures today. I was thinking about how thorough God wants our fight to be, to where we take the battle. There's a scripture that says something about taking the battle to the gate, where we not only kick the enemy out from where he's been in our lives, but we actually become offensive against him and actually begin to destroy him and take the battle all the way back to his gate. How do we do that? And how back then, how did they take the battle back to the enemy city and then knock down the enemy city? How'd they do that? They had a special weapon. It wasn't a sword. It wasn't a spear. It wasn't the shield. Those are all pretty much, well, the sword's an offensive weapon, but the other things, the helmet, the breastplate, the feet, and the shield, those are all defensive. And we've got to have those. But how about taking the battle to the enemy's gates and knocking his fortresses down? How do we do that? And we know that those are strongholds in our lives. I thought about this. And praying always, with all prayer. Now, in the book of Pilgrim's Progress, when the interpreter showed Christian the arsenal of all the Christian weapons, and he saw the spear and he saw the sword and all that stuff in there, and he looked over and there was a weapon and he said, "What's that?" And they said, "This is the weapon of all prayer." Whenever I was thinking about what do we do to batter down the walls of the enemy, They had in the ancient times, they had battering rams, where they would get a group of people or horses or whatever. I don't know what they did, but they would push that battering ram against the wall time and time again. Slam! Bam! And then they would break those walls down. You know what the battering ram of our arsenal and our weaponry is? It's prayer. You can do things with prayer in your home and in your family that will accomplish, that they won't be accomplished any other way. Don't be discouraged and think, all I can do is pray. That prayer is a battering ram. It not only deals with the things right there, but it takes the battle clear back to the enemy's base camp. And it knocks it. And it does things. Prayer is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it casts down imaginations. You can cast out the enemy through prayer. And the reason why I know this is because that's what the enemy tries to get us to leave off. The most important weapon that we have. And he's done it to me, and he's done it to many. It's very important. I remember a person that told me way back in my youth. It was an older person, and that person confessed to me, there was one place that I am not faithful in, and that is in my prayer life. I can go for days, and I won't take time to pray. And I was a young person, and I heard that, and I thought, wow. And I didn't really think about any implications of that, but I want to tell you something. In that person's home and family, the enemy became entrenched. There were things that came out of that home that shocked me. This was supposed to be godly people. Where'd this come from? How did this happen? And I thought back to the person that told me and said, I can go for days and not pray. And then I'll get stirred up. And that person said, I wish I could be more faithful in that, but that's my problem. I found out how important it was 20 years later. And that's really, and I've seen it happen in my own life. This is where the enemy tries to get me to be unfaithful. In prayer, because prayer is the battering ram that destroys the enemy's camp. We need to know that and remember that. It's easy for us to forget, but prayer is mighty through God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. He said, so we built the wall. We made our prayer and we set up a watch. One more scripture that I want to give us is in Galatians 6. And verse 9, this is an encouragement. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Another place Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. We can get so tired that we just give up. The fight can make us so weary. But I want to encourage us today, don't give up the fight for your family. Don't give up the fight for your marriage. Don't give up. God will send you the help if we keep vigilant and prayerful. Pray and not faint. The Lord will do things. I've seen people stay in the fight. I've seen people forgive, fight against that bitterness, cast it out, get forgiveness in their hearts toward one another, and fight it and fight it and fight it until they came full circle and the Lord gave victory in their home toward one another. That it's possible. Sometimes when we look at the fight and how great it is, we're like those children of Israel there with Nehemiah. It looks impossible. I just feel so weak against this. It just seems like it's just going to be there. No, don't give up the fight. God can bring victory. He can bring peace between brothers and sisters. He can bring peace between husbands and wives. He can bring peace and healing between estrangement, in estrangement between father and son, mother and son. It doesn't matter what it is. You keep fighting for your family. Fight the devil. Don't fight each other. Fight the devil. Fight the spirit that's behind these things. I remember especially one family that I knew the battle that was going on. And the one who was faithful, loving the Lord, didn't say much about it, but I knew. There's a fight for a soul here in this family. And I'm thankful that the one serving the Lord never gave up. There were times that it was so black and so bad in that family that it looked like, I remember getting the request, a confidential request, we need prayer. It looks like it's all over. They're leaving and won't be back. This is over. This marriage is over. That person never gave up. And it was so wonderful to see God begin to work. There was nothing that any person did, but God began to work. God never gave up. That spouse never gave up. They continued to pray. They battered that wall with prayer for years until God changed that person, began to work a change. It wasn't overnight. There were some things that were really big changes. But then there would be ground that had to be gained, more ground to be gained. And I want to tell you something. The Lord brought that family together. The Lord brought that family together in love, in affection, in care for one another, and brought the soul that was in trouble all the way to victory till they passed on. That's what God wants. That was the vision. I'm so glad that the believing spouse never gave up. They kept on and kept on until God brought healing and victory. Thankful this morning for the Word of God.